Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Many of us are Doolittlers when it comes to our animals. Like the fictional Dr. Doolittle, we talk to them a lot. But how much time do we actually communicate with them? Consider what behaviorist Bill Campbell wrote me when we were exploring companion dog communication from an ethological standpoint. This was way back in the days when people still wrote letters. You know, it's a miracle that puppies, let alone adult dogs, ever learn to sit, he wrote. First, we stand like wooden posts, wearing bait bags or holding treats, and we stare at them. Then we hiss, "Sit!" at them, a sound that distresses most young animals and a lot of anxious adult ones, too. If the dog can't get past those negative signals and guess what the word means, we push down their rear ends. Another behavior that will stress many pups. And finally, if they hold that totally out-of-context position for a second or two, we give them treats and babble at them like idiots about how good they are. Their ability to sort all that out and give us what we want is truly amazing. Bill's comments remind us that companion animals may face communications never faced by their ancestors. To better understand the significance of this, though, we need to recognize six basic characteristics of all animal communication signals. Animal signals are either discrete or graded in degree. For example, mammals belonging to multiple species use ear position to communicate their feelings about the intended recipient of their message at that time. Erect ears communicate a positive message, whereas ears back communicate that the animal considers the other a threat for some reason. But in addition to these discrete thumbs up and thumbs down positions, animals also may hold their ears at any location between the two to communicate a more moderate message. How clear these signals are to others is a function of the animal's ear conformation and hair coat. Equine ears are easier to read than those of an ungroomed, shaggy, Old English sheepdog, or the small, flattened ones of short-haired Scottish Fold cats, most of whom always look apprehensive regardless of their actual moods. Animal communication also uses composites. Composites occur when animals combine two discrete signals to enhance the meaning of the display. For example, changes in ear position may be combined with those of the mouth. An animal with erect ears and a wide open mouth communicates a stronger greeting than one whose mouth is closed. Conversely, an animal with flattened ears and an open mouth communicates that the animal perceives the other as a more serious threat than if the sender's mouth were closed. The range and duration of signals also plays an important role in animal communication. A dog or cat who vocalizes to gain attention from those far away must vocalize more loudly than one who seeks to gain the same response from someone nearby. How long the signal will persist depends on how long it gets any recipients to respond or the sender self-extinguish the message. As people who have intermittently reinforced their barking dogs quickly discover, these signals may continue for a long time. The meaning of animal communication also depends on syntax. Syntax refers to the creation of different meanings depending on the sequence in which the signals are arranged. Consider these two canine sequences. In sequence one, the dog stiffens, barks, and then wags. In sequence two, The dog wags, then barks, then stiffens. The first signal typically communicates an increasingly relaxed state, whereas the second, that of an animal becoming more suspicious. Like words, we can't say anything about what an animal communication signal means unless we recognize the context in which it occurs. Years ago, when I first saw a dog pull back her lips and expose her teeth in a submissive smile, I thought she intended to aggress. But when I looked at the signal in the context of the whole dog's body language as well as my own, I realized what was going on. Although I was aware of the signal and its meaning in wolves and wild dogs, I'd never seen it in pet dogs before that day. But since then, the display has become more common, no doubt as people positively reacted to it. And finally, animal communication also may involve metacommunication. Metacommunication refers to communication that is understood instead of directly communicated. That communication engaged in by group hunting animals pre-hunt seems to fit the bill. In those animals, the overt pre-hunt communication determines the size and makeup of the hunting party. But implied in it is that those functioning in a particular role know how to fulfill it. But what about metacommunication in companion animals? Animals living with other animals may exchange signals that communicate messages about play tactics. For example, Fricka may give Ollie a look that apparently communicates, next time the cat comes by, let's chase him around the house. Or the dogs may wander down the driveway, and when they reach the lilac bush that marks their limits, they'll look at it and each other, then turn and look at me. In response to this, I say, verbally or via my body language, don't even think about it, and they wander back up toward me. Then there are all those wonderful, nonverbal, implied communications people share with their animals about all sorts of things. Comings and goings, company coming, impending trips, walks, rides in the car. These are all implied in the most subtle human and animal communication. Take some time and think about the amazing way your animals use their behaviors to communicate with each other and with you. Just as learning to speak another's language clears up a lot of misunderstandings, knowing how animals communicate with members of the same and different species can clear up a lot of misunderstandings with our pets, too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.